Winter seems the perfect time to put a few bird sounds on the air. The starling, when thousands of other starlings join in, as they do when roosting in spring, they're called a murmuration of starlings because that's what they sound like. Such bits of avian lore can be found in a book published this month titled 100 Birds and How They Got Their Names. NPR's Renee Montaigne spoke with the author, Diana Wells.
The cardinal and the secretary bird are among those named for how they look. The cardinal for its resemblance to the red-robed churchman. The secretary bird because it has a spray of feathers sticking out of the back of its head, much like a secretary in the old days would have had spare quill pens sticking out behind his ears. Then there are the many birds that got their names from how they sound. The raven, for example. Diana Wells writes that its scientific name is from the Greek word korax, meaning croaker, and its common name is from the Norse word hraven, meaning to clear one's throat. The heron as well. It's named for an old English word. What is it?
Hraven. But that's because the earliest names probably did come from the sound of its cry. That would be a normal way to describe a bird.
The name crow
comes from the Anglo-Saxon craw, which is an imitation of their cry. Actually, we now say that crows caw, and we say that roosters crow.
Birds also lend their names. Someone is pigeon-toed or eagle-eyed, but none, says Diana Wells, rivals the number of expressions that come from the crow. Crow's feet to crow about as the crow flies, eat crow.
I think the reason probably why we have so many words from it is such a terribly common bird. It's everywhere. So naturally, people would talk about it and compare it with things.
Reading this, crows build bulky nests high in trees, which then translates to?
Crow's nest or sailor's crow's nest. Yes, it's similar. You can see the outline up high. In old sailing ships, they had a place that was a little safe up at the top of the mast and be fairly safe and scan the horizon.
And the crowbar?
Crowbar is similar to the shape of a crow's bill. And it's levered. It's a very strong lever-like thing, so it's called a crowbar because it's the same shape.
We humans also project onto birds what we think we see in them. Had it been left up to Benjamin Franklin, for instance, we would not now have a bald eagle as our national symbol. That's because Ben Franklin judged the bald eagle, quote, a bird of bad moral character, an opinion which flew in the face of how the eagle had been viewed as far back as Roman times.
Well, the name eagle comes from Aquila, which is the Roman name, the Latin name. And eagles have way back been symbols of war and fierceness. They were on banners, warlike banners. So they had this reputation for fierceness and power, which people took up because that's how they wanted to be. And they are very bold, but they also have a habit of taking other birds' prey because they prefer to do that than hunt for themselves. So they're brave, but they're also thieve. And Ben Franklin didn't really want the eagle on the Great American Seal because of this habit. And he would have preferred the turkey, but he didn't win.
You know, so many of these birds are carriers of human projections. The hummingbird.
The hummingbird, they are absolutely miraculous, partly because they're so small. And of course, they fly unlike any other bird. They're the only birds that can hover and fly backwards. As far as their names are concerned, that was one of the most fun things I found when I was doing this research, because the ruby-throated hummingbird is called Archilochus colubris, after Archilochus.
Now, Archilochus is a Greek poet.
Yes, I discovered that Archilochus was a Greek poet who had a reputation for being a coward, because he had admitted, unlike most Greeks, that he ran away in battle. And I didn't make the connection even then, and I think it hasn't been made since the bird was named. I suddenly woke up in the night and thought, of course, he ran backwards, and the hummingbird is the only bird that can fly backwards.
In fact, the hummingbird is far from a coward. It is, says Diana Wells, quite brave.
Yes, it's absolutely amazing. It flies, it migrates hundreds of miles. Tiny little thing goes across the Gulf of Mexico nonstop for 500 miles. And it has to fill up on nectar, and if the weather is wrong, it doesn't make it. I still can't see how they do it, but apparently they do.
Now, when it comes to the flamingo, when Spanish explorers first saw that bright pink wonder in the Americas, they gave it the Spanish name for flame. The bird's scientific name, Phoenicoptera rubra, conjures up the mythical phoenix. Early Christians linked flamingos to both the phoenix and to Christ.
Well, when they were flying in the air, they put their legs straight out behind them and their heads extended, and they look a bit like a cross. But I think the religious connection is more because of their color, because they were thought to look as though they had been burned in a flame. As Christ rose again, you know, the idea that they were burned and rose again.
Of course, birds have had a place in heaven since ancient times.
We have traditionally thought of them as linked to heaven. They're beautiful and they're soft and they fly and they sing. And they come from where heaven was supposed to be, which was above us. And so mostly angels and things have bird wings, not reptile wings or, you know, butterfly wings or something. If you look in some paintings of hell, you'll find that in hell you do have insect wings down below. Or dragons don't have bird wings, you know, they have reptilian wings. The word for hell in Virgil is Averno, which means without birds. So implying that hell was a place without birds, which indeed it would be.
One last bit of bird lore from author Diana Wells. In 100 Birds and How They Got Their Names, she writes that the Mayans believed hummingbirds were made from the bright scraps left over after the creation of all the other birds. I'm Renee Montaigne, NPR News.